Bible Time, and this is Donald Moffat greeting you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and inviting you to stay tuned for the next 15 minutes as we look into the Word of God. It is a privilege for me to come into your home today with another Bible Time program, and I do trust that the Lord will make His Word a real blessing to your heart. And now shall we speak to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that Thy blessing might rest upon Thy holy Word. We thank Thee that Thou hast promised that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. And again Thou hast said that Thy word shall not return unto Thee void. And we ask our God that Thou wilt bless Thy word to the honor and glory of Thy beloved Son and to the salvation of precious souls. For we ask it in His name and for His glory. Amen. Today I want to bring you the fourth in this series of five messages on the subject of the Lord Jesus as the bread of life. We have noted that in verse 32 of John chapter 6, the expression, the true bread, tells us of His perfection. In verse 33, He speaks of Himself as the bread of God, and this tells us of His purpose. As the bread out of heaven, in verse 41, we learn of His person, and today we will note that He calls Himself the bread of life, and in this we see His promise, for life is what He assures to those who receive Him as their Savior. Now, I would like you to read with me just a couple of verses from John chapter 6. First of all, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And now look farther down the chapter to verse 47, where we read, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. In verse 33, we are told that the Savior gives life. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And the life which he gives, he also sustains, and it is for this reason that we read that the one who has received Christ shall never hunger nor thirst. Now, in connection with the Lord Jesus as the bread of life, I would like you to note five things relative to this divine eternal life. First of all, in verse 27 of John 6, we learn of the source of life. We read of everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. It is very clear that the one source of eternal life is the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 5 and verse 40 he said, Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And there are countless multitudes who fall into this class. They do not have eternal life, nor will they bow to the will and word of God and come to Christ for it. They go to every other source seeking life, but cannot find it outside of Christ. Some seek eternal life in religion. But you say, is that wrong? Yes, for many are satisfied with a religion who have never had the experience of taking Christ as their Savior. In John chapter 3, there is a very religious man who came to the Lord Jesus. His name was Nicodemus. And while he had plenty of religion, he did not have divine life. To this man the Savior said, Ye must be born again. For it is only through the new birth that life comes into the soul. And then there are those like the Apostle Paul, who was very religious and sincere before he was saved. He was called Saul of Tarsus, and sincerely carried out all he had been taught. But while doing this, he was most active in persecuting the Christians. He was very sincere, for he thought he was doing God service, but he was sincerely wrong. Now, while sincerity will never take a man to heaven, no man will get there without being sincere. It is not enough to be a sincere believer in some doctrine or creed. We must be sincere believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that it is by his death alone that salvation is provided. We must believe that Christ died for our sins, and believe this sincerely and savingly. There are others who seek life in morality. They are very scrupulous in their dealings with their fellow men. They would not take a dishonest dollar, nor be associated with anything that is low and base among men. However, the Bible does not teach that morality of this nature will take a man to heaven. If it would, then there would have been cause for the Son of God to come from heaven and die upon the cross under the judgment of our sins. Morality is an excellent trait, and it does bear its fruit in the life of the person governed by good moral principles. And then there is another class who believe that prayer will bring them divine life, and they are very regular in this exercise. And perhaps you are one of these. Now, prayer is excellent, for it is an expression of the weakness of the creature and of the greatness of the Creator. However, there is not one verse in the Bible which tells us that if we pray, we will receive divine life. Divine eternal life is found not in asking, but in receiving. It is when we receive the Lord Jesus as Savior that we then have this life which is everlasting. In 1 John 5:11 we read, God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Thus, it is very clear in the Bible that the one source of eternal life is a person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, I would like you to note the scope of eternal life. Verse 33 of John chapter 6 tells us that the Lord Jesus giveth life unto the world. You see, the purpose and plan of God in salvation embraces all men. None are excluded. The message of the gospel is to whosoever will. And the world is divided into two classes, the whosoever wills and the whosoever wants. The first class are on their way to heaven, the second class on their way to hell. But the thing to note is that the death of Christ was for all men. There is sufficient value in the sufferings and death of God's Son to save every sinner of Adam's fallen race. His death fully satisfied the justice and holiness of God, thus making it possible for God to make this universal offer of salvation. It is interesting to note that in the Gospel of John, God continually has the world in mind, not just a small section of its population, but the whole world. In John 1:9, we learn of light for all the world. In chapter 3:16, it is love for all the world. In chapter 4:42, we see liberty for all the world. And finally here in chapter 6:33, it is life for all the world. How blessed this is! It simply means that God is making this offer of salvation and eternal life to each one listening to this broadcast. And God does not offer what he does not intend you to take. You are part of this world loved by God. You are one of those for whom God has provided eternal life through the death of his Son. But I want to ask you, are you one of those who will respond to God's overture of mercy? And will you now receive his Son as your Savior? This is what God desires you to do at this moment, and I trust you will. The third thing to note is the satisfaction of eternal life. Some folk have the idea that when a person receives Christ as their Savior, that this is the end of living. But in reality, it's just the beginning of life. The person who is not saved is caught up in a frantic frenzy to find satisfaction. But true satisfaction cannot be found outside of Christ. The Lord Jesus promises that the soul that comes to him will find full and eternal satisfaction. What a blessed promise this is. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The believer does not hunger for peace with God because he knows this as a reality in his life. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He does not hunger for rest of heart, for in believing he has this also. The Savior said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And thank God the rest he gives can never be lost. The believer on Christ will never hunger for joy, for his heart is possessed by Christ, and he never ceases to give true joy. And then, the believer in Christ need never hunger for assurance regarding eternity. Thank God, this was all settled at the cross. The believer is able to sing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood." But then, not only does the believer not hunger, but he also does not thirst. The Lord promised in John 4:14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." Christ so satisfies the heart of the believer that there is thus no need for him to drink at the world's pleasures, ambitions, and desires. Eternal life fully satisfies. The fourth thing about life is its surety. And this is seen in one word in verse 47. It is the four-letter word, hath. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." And if you will compare John 3:36 and John 5:24, you will note that this is what the Lord says in these portions as well. The one who believes on Christ hath everlasting life. Now, who says this? Not a man, but God. It is a work of Christ which saves, and it is a word of God which makes us sure of salvation. If God tells me that I have eternal life through believing on his Son, then I must believe God. I have believed on Christ as my Savior, therefore God says that I have eternal life. This is how one enters into the assurance of salvation, and it is so simple. It's just a matter of taking God at his word. Will you do this now? It is what God desires for you. In love to your soul, he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die upon the cross at Calvary for your sins. Yes, it was your sins for which he died. And because the Savior has suffered the full penalty of your sins, there is no need for you to be eternally lost. He has died that you might not die eternally. Will you take him as your Savior right now? Remember, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. May God help you to believe and be saved at this moment. This is the moment that God desires you to trust his Son as your Savior. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to thee with thanksgiving. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus is the bread of life. We bless thee, our Father, for the life, the peace, the joy, the salvation that is found in the Son of God, and that this is a present possession. We pray for those listening at this moment who do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that thou wilt bring them today to trust thy Son and thus enter into the joy of life. In his worthy and precious name, amen.